Amen. Thank you. Oh, and for all the kids that are with us this morning, I've got some good news. It is 2 days till Christmas, right? Is that exciting? 2 days away? All the excitement of the toys, of opening up your presents, of unwrapping the gifts, of just Christmas morning. Now, for some of us, that's not really good news. For some of us, probably most of the men in here, it's a little bit of a panic time, right? Like yesterday, I text Christy, I sent her a text, is there something I can get you for Christmas, right? It's like 3 days away, and I'm asking my wife. And you think I would have learned, because she did reply. You think I would have learned, is there something I can get you for Christmas under $100, right? I should have said that. Because she wrote back a Jeep. Okay. Yeah. So again, you think I would have learned after all these years, right? So, but for some of us, that's where we are right now. It's excitement and it's a little bit of wow, am I ready? Is everything done? It is an exciting time. And for those of you that are the kids that are following along with the bingo game, remember to listen for what I say the word, not just if the word happens to be written down on the note. So yeah, you need to hear me say it. So then I was thinking about Christmas and about the gifts. And then I thought, you know, I wonder what the hottest gifts of 2019 are. And so I looked in to see what are some of the gifts. And the top one, or at least one of the top ones, is the Bloom doll. Again, those of you who have kids, you probably know what these gifts are, especially if they're young children, because this is probably on their wish list, right? This is probably some of the stuff they hope to find under the tree on Wednesday. So the Bloom doll, apparently it's like a pot, a doll is inside of it, like a flower pot, and you pour water into it, and a doll grows out of it, right? And then they've got the Linkable Smooth Move Sloth. So, you know, sloths are really slow, if you've ever seen one. But this one apparently has some really smooth dancing moves. So it's a dancing sloth. And it's apparently something all the kids are wanting this year. Then there's the Cubby the Curious Bear. So I guess he hugs our kids for us. I guess we don't need to hug them anymore. The bear will do that for us. It will cuddle with our kids. Cubby the Curious Bear. And then there's this one. I don't know exactly what it does, but the way those kids look, it looks like an amazing game. Like, I want to play that just based on the faces of those kids right there, the orangutan kids game. These are just some. And there's one more, the Artie 3000, the coding robot. Like, it helps kids write computer code. Yeah, he doesn't look as happy as the kids in the previous picture. I'm just saying. You know, so we happen to have at home one of those, because, you know, I'll do it now. Barney, do you guys remember when this came out? Barney the dinosaur? Let's see, put it up close to my microphone.
Oh, boy, I'm happy to see you.
Can you guys hear that? Oh, boy, I'm happy. And if you cover his eyes. He plays peekaboo. Look at that. So I don't know how to turn him off, so I'm going to put him back here. Because he's just going to keep talking during the sermon. See, he just said, where are you? It's okay, Barney. I'm right here. You know, but we all really struggle to look for those perfect gifts. And then I thought, well, what are the top gifts of all time? So first, we have Barbie, the number one selling toy. Barbie doll. And it makes sense. It's been around a long time, and they're still innovating, and she changes with the times, right? The next top-selling toy of all time, what do you think it is? The yo-yo. Right, so yes, it's number two all-time selling toy, the yo-yo. Not for this year. This is all-time, just the top-selling toys of all time. Barbie's number one, the yo-yo is the number two, the Easy Bake Oven. How many of you guys had an Easy Bake Oven or bought one? Yeah, they're still out there. You can still buy these. The Easy Bake Oven. And then another classic, a red wagon. A red wagon. Yeah, we've all had that, or a red wagon. And, you know, and probably have gotten, you know, because of the red wagon, some stitches at some point, right, in our lives. Silly putty. It's still it's a top seller this year. It's in the top 10. And then Transformers. Transformers. Yeah, the movies have really brought that back, but it's been out since the 70s. Then you have G.I. Joe, right? Because knowing is half the battle. Right? You got another little slogan. Hot Wheels. Hot Wheels, right? So, Christy, I'm going to get you that Jeep. It's going to be, you know, under the tree. And maybe if you pour some water on it, it'll grow into a real one. I don't know. We'll see. Hot Wheels. And then Etch-A-Sketch. I had that. I made stuff with it. I don't know that it ever looked like anything I intended to make, but the Etch-A-Sketch. And Legos. Right, Legos. So these are the top gifts of all time, some of the top hottest gifts for this year. And it really does feel good when you find the perfect gift. Like when we, you know, when our kids want that Barney or whatever the gift is, and when you know where you've had the time and you thought through that gift and you're like, oh, this is the perfect gift for my spouse, for my husband, for my wife, for my kids, for my parents. It feels good. You know, when we get the gift that's just right, that they've been wanting or that we really put a lot of thought into. And we're talking about Christmas, and we're talking about the gift of God that he's given to us. You've heard of the 12 days of Christmas. We're going to look at the 8 gifts of Christmas. There's a whole lot more. But we're going to focus mostly on 8 today. And so we've been looking at Luke, and it's in your notes. You can find and follow along. And it says in your notes from Luke where the angels appear to the shepherds, and it says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heavens and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." So if you looked at this last week, those are some of the gifts right there on the paper that are not part of the 8. I just want to review a little bit what we've looked at. We looked at the gift of hope. When we started in December, the gift of hope and the gift of joy. The angel says, "I give you good news of great joy for all the people," right? They will be full of joy because this Messiah has come. What you've been hoping for has arrived. Just like Christmas morning, we're so full of joy because what we've been hoping for has finally arrived. And then we see also the gift of peace. So when we look at the gift of peace, we looked at that last week, that it's not just... He is not just the Prince of Peace. Isaiah says he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, Mighty God. But he's not just the Prince of Peace because he brings peace to men, but because he brings peace between men and God. And you know, and just like we said, the pictures are things you can take pictures of and post that on media. You know, sometimes if you hear something, we tweet and retweet stuff all the time. If you hear something, or something strikes you, somebody said to me this morning between the services that really was significant and was a God moment and ministered to them, then why not post that? Why not tweet that and say, you know what, Jesus is the Prince of Peace because he brings peace between men and God. And so, the first gift that we see, that we receive from Christmas. You guys ready? This is going to be one of the words, guys. Is the gift of love. Right? You guys all see that? The gift of love. And this is also on your notes. Oh, I'm sorry. I want you to go back. It's also on your notes, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." That God so loved the world that he gave. So here, love comes before giving, right? He loved, therefore he gave. But love in itself is still a gift. So love is the first gift that he's giving to us. But love is a gift that gives. So for example, let's substitute the word love with hate. When people hate other people, they give them bad gifts, bad things. If you're jealous, if you're insecure, those are attributes or attitudes that give out things relating to that emotion or that feeling or that attribute. So love gives, and everything else following are things that come as a result of the first gift that we have, which is God's love. Because it says that God loved us, so he gave, but it also says that God shows his love for us and that while we were still sinners, he sent his son and gave his son for us. So love is the first gift. And as we look on, the second gift is the gift of being found. The gift of being found. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Right? He comes to seek and to save the lost. And this is one of the gifts of being found. Have you guys, we've all played hide and go seek, right? And have you ever played hide and go seek and the person that's looking for you quits? And you're like, come on, for real? I mean, you're lost or you're hiding and you're waiting to be found. And when they find you, right, or the joy of finding what's been lost, but also the joy of being found. It's one of the great things about all the movies we see about the Marines. But imagine if you really are a Marine, how reassuring it is to know that if you ever get captured or you get left behind, they will come for you, right? That reassurance to know. And we've all lost something, right, at some point or another. And the Bible talks about that. Jesus is at one point, he's hanging around as he would a lot of times with not the best kind of people, right, with sinners. And the religious people were really having a problem with that. And they were talking to themselves. And we all know that it's not Santa who knows if we've been good or bad or, you know, sees us when we're sleeping. It's Jesus. And Jesus knows what they're thinking. And then he says to them, "Well, why are you so upset that I'm hanging around with these people?" Because he says, listen, there was a woman who had a coin. She had 10 coins. She lost one of those coins. And she started to turn the whole house upside down. I mean, she looked over through everything. And when she found the coin, she was so happy. She threw a party because she found what she had lost. And then immediately, to make the point, to bring it home, he says, and there was a shepherd who had a flock of sheep. He had 100 sheep, and one of them got lost, and he ran after looking for that one, left the 99, went to find that lost sheep. And when he found the sheep, he threw a great party. And Jesus says, there's rejoicing in heaven, more rejoicing in heaven for the one lost sheep that is found than for the 99 that are already found. And have you ever lost one of your kids? Yeah, we've lost. Two come to mind because the ones that scare you are the ones you remember. And you know, Olivia and Antonio, we lost them both at one point. Different times. But one time we were traveling on the turnpike through Florida, and we stop at a rest area. And if you've been around the Orlando area, the rest areas on the Florida turnpike, it's around Disney World. It's Orlando. It's crowded. It's packed. And we go in to go to the restroom. So I go in, and Jared and Caleb follow me into the men's room, and Christy goes into the women's room, and Olivia goes that way, or so we thought. Because when we all come back out, we're counting kids, Olivia's missing. And, that moment, I thought she was with you. So Christy starts looking around inside. I'm panicking because it's crowded. There's so many people. And if somebody wanted to take her, she could, just like that, and nobody probably would have noticed. I run outside the rest area looking for cars driving away with her in the window. Bobby, help me! That's what I'm expecting. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for her in the backseat of a car or somebody dragging her. I don't see that. There's a Florida State Trooper there. And I said, help me. I can't find my daughter. I've lost my daughter. And he doesn't ask me any questions. I think immediately, because of the panic in my voice, he immediately grabs the radio on his shoulder and starts calling. And at that moment, Christy walks out with Olivia. Man. Right at the entrance of the restrooms was one of those little photo booths with a curtain. So the little diva that she is, she saw that little picture, and she jumped in there, and she closed the curtain, and we couldn't see her. Her feet weren't long enough to come all the way down. Anyways, Christy looked, and we found her in that booth. So therefore, that's always the first place we look for her after that, the photo booth. So the joy of being found, guys, the gift of being found, that Christ seeks for you. You know, kids, I want you to understand that. He is looking for you. He has come from heaven. What we're celebrating in Christmas is that Jesus is looking for you, and he rejoices when you find him and he finds you. That is the gift of being sought after and found, which kind of leads us right here to our next one, and they all kind of relate and connect with each other. So the next gift that we have is the gift of grace. The gift of grace. And what do we mean by this? The word grace, a lot of times we understand it as being meaning a free gift. If you know, understand the word gratis, it means free. The word for free in Spanish is gratis. Because same word, gratis, just with the Spanish pronunciation. It means free. But grace, the grace of God, isn't just something that's free. That's not really what it means. It means something that is not earned, that is not merited. So you get something you don't deserve. So, for example, on Christmas morning, you guys are going to open up your gifts. All you kids are going to open up your gifts. Do you think your parents got you gifts that you have earned and deserve? No, I looked at my son's grades this week. He's not getting things based on what he deserves, right? He's getting, no matter what his grades are, we still bought him gifts. He's still going to open them on Christmas Eve because it's not based on whether he's earned them or deserved them. Now, sometimes it is. Sometimes our kids want something huge, and they haven't been good. And we're like, you know what? I'm not going to, I just can't because that's too much. But God isn't like that with us. There's never a, that's too much. His grace, he gives us freely what we don't deserve. Now, how many of you guys are old enough to babysit? You guys, any babysitter? You babysit other kids? Now, your own little brothers and sisters don't count. Because your parents don't pay you to babysit your own little brothers and sisters. But let's say if you've ever babysat a neighbor's kids or somebody else in the church, and let's say you get $10 an hour, and you babysat for 10 hours or 5 hours, that'd be how much? $50. Right? That's what you've earned. So the night comes, and you've babysat somebody, your neighbor's kids, for 5 hours, and they're supposed to give you $10, and they count 10, 20, 30, 40. Thank you very much. And you're like, whoa, wait a minute. I was here for 5 hours. I've earned $50. Why are you only giving me 40? Right? Because we get what we earn. We're like, wait a minute, I earned that. I deserve that. In Romans chapter 6, it says, the wages. You guys know what wages means? It's like your paycheck, your salary, your money. The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Right? So the wages of sin are death. What we've earned, what we deserve, is separation from him. But the grace of God, what he gives us, is not what we deserve, but it's his love and it's his life. So let's move on here to the next gift. The next gift is the gift of adoption. Adoption, or being part of his family. The gift of adoption. The Bible says in Romans 8, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. It's, you know, when you have children, even if it's planned, right? Even if you, okay, we're ready to have a child and you're trying to have a baby, but you still don't know what you're going to get, right? That's out of your hands. It's kind of like, you know, Forrest Gump and life's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. You can try to have a child, but you don't know if it's a boy or a girl or blue eyes or brown eyes. Those are out of your control. It's God who forms us in our mother's wombs. But with adoption, that's not always the case. With adoption, it's different. We have quite a few family members who have fostered a number of children who have been in the foster care system and adopted, probably between these two families, I would say probably about 15 kids that they fostered and then adopted. Kids who were taken from their families because their parents were meth dealers. Kids who had been abused. And the thing is, they know the whole story. They know everything. When we adopted, we went through classes, and they told us all the frightening stories that we might face. Because they wanted to get us ready. They wanted to let us know, this is what you're facing. This is what might happen. Do you still want to do this? And we said, yes. Right, so with adoption, it's I choose you. I see you. We see you, and we want you. We want you in our family. We want you to have our name. We want to give you everything that we give all of our other children. You know, I heard this year that in Georgia, you can write your biological children out of your will. You can remove them from getting any inheritance, but not your adopted children. Isn't that interesting? The gift of adoption. That he has adopted us into his family as sons of God. So therefore we cry out, Abba, which is daddy. It's not just that we are now allowed to be with him and we approach him, O sovereign Lord most high, which is okay to call him that, but we can call him dad, right? We can call him dad. That's the relationship that he wants from us. And if you notice, every time Jesus prays, look at his prayers in the Bible. He starts every prayer with the word, Father. So it's the gift of adoption. And then the next gift. The next gift is the gift of freedom. And we're going to go through some of these a little quicker right now. Right? So the gift of freedom. So we see this in Isaiah. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because he has anointed me. The Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and the release from darkness for the prisoners. So it's the gift of freedom. And from sin and from death. Remember we said in 1 Corinthians, the main enemies that Jesus came to free us from, to defeat, are sin and death. That's what it says. Sin, where is your victory? O grave, right, where is your sting? Those are the enemies that Jesus has conquered. And he tells his disciples, listen, in the world you will have trouble, but take heart, right? Have peace, be comforted, because I have overcome the world. So we are free. We are free from the things that enslave us and bind us. Even though they might still be there, there is power in Jesus' name to free us from those. And we'll look at what needs to happen in order to be able to walk in that freedom. But let's move on to the next one, number 6. I actually believe I just alluded to it, is the gift of comfort. The gift of comfort. The next verse in Isaiah 61 says, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion. So, yes, there is freedom in Christ. There is the power of Christ in us to set us free, but also to comfort us. Because as he said, there are still struggles. We still live in this world and we'll have trouble in the world. And we mistake this word comfort with being comfortable. It's not what he's saying. Right? He didn't say, I came to make you comfortable. If anything, Jesus is saying the opposite. If you follow me, the world will hate you. If you follow me, it will be uncomfortable. But I will comfort you. I will be with you. Even in the storms, even in the difficulty and the trials of life, you will be comforted. So he comforts us. Let's go to the next one. The gift of truth. The gift of truth. And this is important because they all relate and connect one to the other. When I think about the gift of truth, it says in Isaiah, that second half of that second verse, the good news to the poor, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. Some translations say instead of release from darkness, they say to open the eyes of the blind. In other words, so that the blind can see. So the reason it's translated these two different ways is because it's not just talking about physical blindness, but about being blind or being in the dark and our eyes being open to the truth. And the word of God is truth, and his word is a lamp. It is light. If it says that the world is in darkness, if every light were closed, if you've ever been in a room that has no windows and the lights go out and it's pitch black, you cannot see your hand in front of your face. And if there's one little speck of light, one little gleam of light coming through a door, you're going to little by little make your way carefully to where the light is, because you're going to know that I got to go to the light. And God's word is truth. It's light. And there's so much. So darkness isn't only evil. It's also thinking. It's also not knowing what God has said. John 1:14 says, the word became flesh. This is talking about the incarnation, Jesus coming and becoming a baby and being born into the world. The world became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the only one Son, of the one and only Son, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. I think of that conversation with Pontius Pilate. Pilate is the one who betrayed Jesus, or actually authorized his execution. And Pilate is talking with Jesus, and he says to him, what is truth? And truth was standing right in front of him. Pilate missed it. What is truth? So he gives us the gift of truth, but the truth that is in his word, the truth about being free, the truth of being comforted, all of these different things, we have to understand that they come and they are available to us. It's almost like setting out a table, a buffet, a banquet. The food is available to you. You have a right to eat. Jesus says that the food that is on the table is for the children of the kingdom. Right? The things of the kingdom are for the children of the king. But you still have to go up to the table and sit down at the table and get your plate and get your fork and start to eat what's made available to you. If we want to see growth, I've mentioned this before. For some reason, we understand that if we want one thing, that we have to do something to get it. If you want good grades, you need to study. Nobody expects to completely just ignore a test and then do well on it. Like, oh, I didn't do good on that test. Did you study? No. But if you studied for it, right, if you work at it, no, you shouldn't expect to see the scale every day change when you stand on it if you're not doing something and changing your eating habits and going to the gym, right? We understand if you want a result, there's something you need to do to get that result. But for some reason, when it comes to spiritual growth and growing and being strong in our faith, for some reason, we just assume that he's going to download it and just put it all into us. And just like that, we're going to be spiritually mature and strong and full of comfort in the middle of trials. And it's not like that. It's a relationship. And the more we grow and the more we dedicate to that relationship, the more that relationship is a reality in our lives. So it's the truth. So we need to grow and gain time. And you're gonna see this on Christmas Eve. We're gonna start handing this out. And it says it's our community connection catalog, our spring ministry catalog. And it's full of opportunities and things that the church is doing. I'm really excited about this and sharing this with you guys. But there's all kinds of opportunity, community groups, small groups, classes, and all the things that we'll be offering. But we can do all of this and make it all available to you so that in 2020, you can grow in the knowledge of the truth. Because remember, truth in faith is not just, it's not just believing, because when there's two ways to think about truth or faith. Have you ever said, "Oh, pray for me that I won't lose my faith, or that I'll be, my faith will be strong through this time"? Right? There's a part about faith or truth that is just our ability to keep believing in the middle of a hard time. That's part of faith. Oh, I hope my faith is strong. But there's another part of faith. It's called the faith. Like when Paul says, "Are you growing in the faith?" Now he's not talking about are you growing in how much you believe God, but are you growing in what we believe about God? Are we growing in what we know the truth to be? Are we growing in the truth? It's amazing how many times we believe things to be true that the Bible doesn't even teach. And we think it's true because we don't know the truth. So these are all made available to you. It's out on the table. It'll be part of the banquet that we'll be offering in 2020. But you need to come up and sit down. You need to make the time to say, I'm going to take that class. I'm going to be part of this class. I'm going to be part of this group so that I can grow in the truth, in the faith. And the last one, I feel like we should have a drum roll here for the last one, is the gift of eternal life. The gift of eternal life. So John 3:16, most famous Bible verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Man, talk about good news. Talk about good news. Eternal life. We have seen his glory. Jesus says to the Father in John 17, "I want those who are mine to be with me where I am and to see and to share our glory, to be with me forever." It says this in Revelation when Jesus comes before the church and he says that he will wipe every tear from their eye. I love the imagery. "I will wipe every tear from their eye. I will be their God and they will be my people." Man, just the idea of glory, of heaven, of being with him forever. And in Hebrews, it says these words in Hebrews. What is left for us? Right? What is left for us if we reject such great a salvation? Right? He offers us, he's giving you eternal life. He's offering it to you. He's paid the price already. And Hebrews gets it right. What's left for us if this is offered, if this is made available to us? What is left for us if we reject such a great salvation and news? So there's a question there at the end of the message of your notes. So what are we going to do? So now that you've heard the good news, what will you do? The shepherds that were out with their flocks and the angels spoke to them and they saw the angels in heaven glorifying God. And then it says the angels disappeared. They went back up into heaven, and that the shepherds looked at one another. And what do you think they said? "Oh, that was interesting." And went right back to shepherding. No. They said, "We got to go check this out. We got to go see. Let's." And it says they hurried off. They weren't just like, you know, taking their time. They weren't the slothful walking. They rushed. They went to go see what they had been told. They were given the good news, and they went immediately to go see the good news. And they found Jesus there, just as the angels had told him. And then it says, when they left Jesus, they went around glorifying God, praising God, and telling everybody what had happened. So if this is good news, if you agree with me, man, this is some good news. If you already have heard this news, then like the shepherds, let's go out and let's share it. Let's share the good news. This week was an amazing, a beautiful week of just sharing the love of Jesus. We had the movie night. We had 35 visitors from the community. We had 32 on Tuesday night. We went to Van Dyne Elementary School and we met over 100 people. Just loving them, just telling them, just talking with them, because we have some good news. And if you don't know that good news, if these 8 gifts that we've just talked about aren't gifts that you have received yet, here's some good news. You can receive them today if you'll come to the table. If you'll come and say, Jesus, I want these gifts. And if we do that, you know, my hope is that on Tuesday night, as we share the good news, that many will hear it and believe. So will you pray with me? If you're here this morning and maybe you're visiting, maybe you've been a visitor for a few weeks, but you, all of these gifts you're thinking, I know I want those. I don't know that I have received them yet. I don't know that I have them. Would you just ask, Jesus, I ask you to save me and give me the gift of your love and eternal life and everything else that comes with it. I give my life to you. And if you know the Lord already, if you have heard and accepted this good news, then let it fill you with joy. Let all of this then again be a motive for you to remember and to celebrate with your family, with your children, the gifts that God has given us. The gifts under the tree are great, but to make sure that they understand the gifts that God has given to them. And let us go and share. And even for the kids that are here today, the Lord can use you. So when I say go and share the good news, what, now that you've heard the good news, what are you going to do? I'm not just speaking to your parents. I'm speaking to you. Whether you're in kindergarten or whether you're a senior, graduated from high school, now that you've heard the good news, what are you going to do? With such a great message and such a salvation as this. Father, hear our prayers, hear our hearts as we cry out to you in just adoration, as we worship the King, as we celebrate the comfort, the freedom, the adoption that we have in Christ, the grace of God. And we pray, Lord, that many, as we said recently, many in this city, many across the city, and many across the street, you will use us to love them into the kingdom. That they would see your grace in us, your comfort because we are comforting them, the freedom because they see that we are free in Christ, the truth because we bear and speak the truth. And that we would see them found because we, as you, went looking for them. Let it be, Father. Let it be, Lord, as we pray this. Would you stand with me as we worship the Lord this morning?